best new releases of the week.
2010 on Triple J.
On Triple J, the sounds there of Chaos with Uptown Girl from his latest album. Yes, I'm glad to say that Chaos joins us right now at the Triple J 10 at Splendor in the Grass.
What's up?
Nice to meet you, Chaos.
Nice.
How are you?
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
You came off stage about an hour ago in the mix-up tent. There's been so many great performances. How did you go today? Was it a good gig?
It was fun, man. I think that it's always, we call it the magic hour. We performed right when the sun was going down and people seemed to flock over, so...
Great.
I saw it grow. I saw it growing. I was into my performance, but I saw the audience growing, which was amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. There's been a lot of love in the mix-up tent, a lot of, you know, good vibes and a lot of, you know, strong, positive emotion from the audience. So I'm glad you continued on with that for this weekend. I've got to ask you about that track as well, because as soon as I heard that track from your latest record, I heard the bass line.
Right.
And because I, you know, grew up listening to Nirvana like most of us did, I heard that bass line and I went, that's the Nirvana bass line from their very first single.
Right.
Did you have to clear that with Nirvana management?
No, actually, it's funny. You asked me that. It's been a long day, but Nirvana actually, it's a remake of a song from the 60s.
Yeah, because they covered Love Buzz.
The Love Buzz. They covered Love Buzz, and so we cleared it with that band, which was cool. I didn't even know Nirvana did it. I was at a 60s night in the town of Vancouver, and this DJ called Trevor Riss played the Love Buzz song, and I was like, I love this song, and I sampled it the next week, and then I had some of my friends from Broken Social Scene going, yo, that's Nirvana. I was like, really? I never heard that. So it's interesting how sampling and me can kind of transcend generations, because I never heard the Nirvana version. And then I think I watched an Unplugged by them or something and they did it. But it wasn't a Nirvana reference. It was actually that group from the 50s that I first heard, and I heard the song in a club and I danced to it and I loved it and I searched it on iTunes and then I sampled it right after that.
Shocking Pink did the original. Pink did the original version. It's funny because I heard that bass line and I could have sworn it was the Nirvana version.
No, it was sampled from that.
The original.
Love Buzz, yeah.
Yeah. Emily Haynes from Metric is also singing with you on that track too.
Yeah, you know, I could say are my homies, Broken Social Scene, and me and Emily we used to kind of leave messages on each other's answer machines of songs that we wanted to do. And we never really, my last album, we had like an idea to do and we never did it. So as soon as she heard this, she loved it. And also singing back up on that song, that's very obscure, is a guy named Murray Lightburn from a band called The Deers.
Ah, he's also, yeah, we know Murray.
Yeah, he's also singing, he's the very, very, very prominent baritone on that and a lot of the singing with me, and he always says to me, people don't even know I'm on that track, do they? They always just say you and Emily. So I gotta mention that Murray Lightburn played guitar and sang on that song.
There you go, from the Deers. Murray from the Deers appears on that track as well.
Yes.
We'll spread the word and let people know.
For sure.
This record, I also read that you are gonna be putting out soon a mixtape with not leftover tracks but extra material which you recorded at the same time as laying down the tracks for Yes. You're gonna put that out as a mixtape, is that right?
Yeah, actually I did a tour across America with another Canadian artist is doing really well right now. His name is Drake. And we went across Canada. I went across America, colleges. We did like some odd 20 dates in April. And I made these songs on the tour bus in between cities of America. And so I ended up having about 8 or 9, maybe about 9 tracks. And then there's 11 tracks on it. 2 of them are kind of some leftover tracks from Yes, but most of them are new tracks that we did on the road. So... yeah, August 6th is going to be available for a free download. I don't know the website yet, but if you search around on this Friday, you should be able to get, you know, some 11 new tracks from my kind of like from April till now of just hanging out. I kind of want to put out music that way. It's really spontaneous, and you know, I've done, you know, 4 albums now, and you get an album, you go in the studio for months, and by the time you put it out, you've already done 4 or 5 new songs. I'm really about the immediacy of the internet and everything. Though artists complain about it, I think it gives artists a great chance to just release things and put them out without thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you're prolific. It sounds like you're productive on the road, which a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, the road, you know, Led Zeppelin and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, all our favorite bands made music on the road. And some of them even made music on the road on the tour bus and tried it out at their shows. I mean, it's a different day now. Everybody's so calculated, but I'm sure a lot of the bands that we loved sometimes would debut songs right as they made them. So I even feel a bit behind by waiting 4 months to put it out on a mixtape. But, you know, I love rock and roll, and I love R&B, true rhythm and blues, and I think a lot of those people from those tradition, you know, guys like David Bowie who don't remember making certain records that he did.
Yeah, I think, isn't that great when you read those stories?
Yeah, I think it serves us well in our generation to just chill a bit and not be so calculated and just put stuff out and then move on to the next thing. It's what we're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. From speaking to you just in the last few minutes, it's obvious that your influences are wide and varied. It's not just in the hip-hop world. The one thing I've never been able to gauge with you, I know you're incredibly successful back in Canada and you do very well in your home market.
Yeah.
What about the States for Chaos? Does Chaos translate into the States?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's interesting because this mixtape is definitely a foray into... You know, this is so funny for me to say. It's my foray into black music, you know. And I think it's an interesting way to look at it because I've never really categorized music through creed or culture. But I feel like Canada is so close to America. And sometimes, you know, America has 400 years of history, you know, albeit that it's slave history. But they have, you know, when you hear guys like Jay-Z or you hear someone like Nas, that's blood memory of 400 years. Canada is like 100 years old. Every single black person who comes from Canada's parents is either from Jamaica, Guyana, you know, Ethiopia, or something else. There are no native Canadians, you know, so we have our history is very short, and music sometimes, culture, accent, you know, swagger comes from years of existing. And so Canada doesn't have that. So a lot of the times America's kind of like, well, you know, a Canadian rapping, I'd rather just buy 50 Cent. Why would I buy a Canadian rapping? So to me, that's why you hear like people like, you know, I do songs with everybody from, you know, Sam Roberts to Sebastian Granger. I just did a song with dude from Death From Above. I mean, I think to me, rock and roll is more of an influence for me because it's an older, you know, folk music. Neil Young, Joni Mitchell is a stronger tradition out of Canada than hip hop is.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of look at Neil Young as more of a hero than, you know, anyone else. Like, there is no Neil Young of hip-hop in Canada. So I think that's why my music has a folk idea to it. And that way, I think sometimes America, they're not really ready yet for the futuristic hip-hop. It's funny. It's hilarious. I just think that there's an idea in America about what a black person is supposed to look like, talk like, walk like. And if you're outside of that, you become alternative. You know, David Bowie can put on a dress and put on makeup and he's artistic, but if I did that, it would freak hip-hop out. They would be like, you know what?
Be a trailblazer.
Try,
you know, see how you go.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's not going to be any Freddie Mercury's in hip-hop right about now. But at the same time, I mean, that's kind of what holds it back, but what makes it so beautiful, because Jay-Z is just Jay-Z, and everyone loves it for what it is. But
and Kanye's Kanye.
There's visionaries
there.
There's visionaries there, but I think, you know, the thing about hip-hop in America, and I have this debate all the time, is that sometimes they want to fight me during these debates, but I think hip-hop is good, but it's amazing in America, but there's an idea that to be a hip-hop or an MC in America that if you have to keep it black, you have to keep it ghetto. The ghetto still has to love your music or else it's not hip-hop, whereas I find in rock and roll, okay, let's run it down. Prog rock, new rock, classic rock, you know, punk rock, Cannibal Corpse, Helmet, you know, Metallica. There's all kinds of rock. You could get on a radio station and hear 10 different types of hip hop. There's no prog hip hop.
Yeah.
There's no classic hip hop station that's gonna pay Rakim or KRS-One all day. There's just hip hop that becomes basically very, very bad dance music at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I think that when hip-hop has those genres, when there's prog hip-hop, when there's art rock, when there's art hip-hop, then hip-hop, then you'll feel okay being a bit of a different hip-hopper, because you can go play on a festival and there might be 12 prog hip-hoppers. But if you're the one prog hip-hopper at a whole hip-hop festival,
it's tough work.
Yeah, people will be like, why are your jeans so tight? And then you might run away.
Listen, fantastic to have you in. We've been playing your music for a number of years, and I know this is the second visit for you to Australia.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing, besides playing at Splendor in the Grass this weekend, which you just have done, you're going to be playing in Melbourne on Tuesday night and also Wednesday night in Sydney. Tuesday night, you're playing at the Prince Band Room in Melbourne. Wednesday night at the Oxford Art Factory in Darlinghurst in Sydney. So enjoy those two gigs. Then you're off to Japan. Then you're touring around the States. Try the dress factor this time around.
I will. I'll fully channel David Bowie. We'll see how it goes.
Fantastic to have you in. We're going to go out with this track. I Wish I Knew Natalie Portman, another one of the big songs from your album. Yes, just quickly, has she heard this track?
She has, actually.
She likes?
She likes it. That's the word. She gets a... She, there's a thumbs up. She actually... I can't go into it.
Ah,
it's kind of...
Tell me afterwards.
It's getting really personal right now.
All right. That's
all
right.
There it is.
Yeah, we've taken up enough of your time. Keep enjoying the festival. Enjoy the highlights of the music stages.
The Pixies, for sure.
The Pixies, for sure. Absolutely, like everyone else.
The best new releases of the week. 2010 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.